Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Tezvav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Dalet Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom, Al Pi Eidim. The Mishnah, as we had learned, gave us a number of rules when Knas was collected. And one of the cases that the Mishnah mentioned was Al Pi Eidim. It says, the Gemara, what was meant with teaching this word? The teacher's problem might be knas. Comes to teach us that if somebody admits that he did something wrong, for which the punishment is to pay knas, v'akach bo edim, and then edim come that after he admitted, so we no longer need his admission because we have independent edim. The loch is since he was maida shu potter. So as the Rishonim point out, even though till now we've been discussing Nezikim, and payment for damages is mominous and not knas, and the halacha is that we don't have, there's no din of moida b'knas, since under certain circumstances, the paces that we speak about are a knas, that's what the Mishnah is referring to. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, Tosfos explains this. Everybody agrees that moida b'knas, that if somebody admits to something which, as we said, carries a punishment of a knas, and we know the definition of a knas is, as we're going to discuss, when it's a standard punishment, it's a standard amount that you're going to pay no matter what, that's called a knas. And the halacha is that moida b'knas, that if somebody's moida that he did an avera for which there is a knas, the halacha is that he's absolved. The question that comes up in our shir is if he was moida b'knas and afterwards edim came. How does the halacha look at that situation? Some say I don't need him. I don't need his admission, and some say that once he was moid b'knas, he's potter, even if Edom came afterwards. And as I saw, the Sefer Beis Aaron explains what the basis of this machloikus is. How do we understand the concept of moid b'knas? One way of understanding is that the Torah Kedosha teaches us that once somebody admitted on his own, we don't make him pay. So the fact that Edom came afterwards doesn't make a difference. You admitted, and the Torah says that if you admitted, you're off the hook. But the other opinion holds that's not that you're off the hook. It's that we won't give you a punishment we won't give you a knas if there's no other way of knowing that you're obligated to it unless it's through your testimony. Once we have somebody without your testimony, that we know without your testimony, the chiv knas was there all along. Another question that I saw, machloikis, the tzois and the nesivis, what's going to be halacha if somebody was moid with knas in one bezdin, can another bezdin be obligate him? And again, it's very much connected to the way we just understood the question of moid with knas. If we understand moida b'knas to mean, if we are to understand that moida b'knas means that you're absolved, so it doesn't make a difference. You're absolved, and once you're absolved, you're absolved. But if we say it's only a limited exemption, so the fact that you're absolved in one bezdin, it wouldn't make a difference regarding another bezdin. Says the Gemara. So that's what the Mishnah suggests the Gemara is coming to teach us. Ask the Gemara, Hanich l'mand amar, moid b'knas v'achkach b'edim potter. Indeed, according to the opinion that holds that way, that's what our Mishnah may be coming to teach us. But ask the Gemara, l'mand amar, moid b'knas v'achkach b'edim chayiv. So that's not what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. So we're back to where we started, Mayik l'meimer. What will our Mishnah come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, seifetz trichalei. The Mishnah is coming to teach us what we learned in the Sefer. B'nei Chayrin u'b'nei Bris. That the halach is that B'nei Chayrin l'mutei Avodim. that avodim kananim are disqualified from being edim. Bnei bris lemuta evdik chavim. When we speak about bnei bris, it comes to exclude that the akum, the akum are excluded from being edim. Says the Gemara Vitzricha, why do we need two separate halachas for an akum and for an eved? The yashmin eved mishum dein lo yachas. An eved has no yichas. We learned the Masech the Kedushin that avodim are the am hadoim lebchamor. Ava nochri, when we speak about a nochri, yesh lo yachas. A nochri is considered somebody who has a yichas based on who his father is. Emeloi, maybe he shouldn't be disqualified. V'yashmin a nochri, v'shun do a shayach b'mitzvus. A nochri is exempt from all mitzvus. Avol ever the shayach b'mitzvus. Avodim that are connected to mitzvus. Emeloi, maybe that they shouldn't be disqualified. Tzricha. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, why would his edis be tali in his yichas, connected to his yichas? So I saw that the Gemara, much later in our Masechta, Pechesam and Aleph, teaches, because the Pasuk says, that why is an Eved Pasuk? Because the Pasuk says, L'yumso oves abonim, that the Torah, when it speaks about Edim, says that the father and the sons are connected. And therefore, since by Edim there's a connection between the father, by Goy Akum there's a connection, that's why we have to say this. So of course the question that comes up is, Akum, Avodim Kananim, are certainly not part of Klal Yisrael. And if they're certainly not part of Klal Yisrael, there's no question that because they're not part of Klal Yisrael, they're not kosher edim. Why do we need a special lima to exempt them? So some Rishonim say, the Rambam's opinion is, that since many acts of damage happen in places where the only people that are frequented in such place are Akum and Avodim. So if we're not going to accept the Gemara suggesting, it may be, if we're not going to accept the Eidus of Akum and Avodim, we'll never have Edim. Tells us the Mishnah, it doesn't make a difference. Akum and Avodim are exempted. And the Trumas Hadeshin takes that a step further. And this, the Rosh the saying. The Trumas Hadeshin say that when we speak about Nezikin, there's an important point to remember. Nezikin and the damages for Nezikin are very, very much required for the able to have a normal world, a world of order. And therefore, maybe in order to keep the world in order, that people shouldn't be able to damage each other, and people should not be able to get away with it. That's why we should be able to accept the edus of the Gemara suggesting we should be able to accept the edus of Akum and Avodim. And as I sort of Rush says, that we want the person who is a victim should be able to collect the damages that he's entitled to. And therefore, maybe we should be lenient with Edim and Avodim. Tells us the Gemara, we still can't be lenient because Edim and Avodim cannot be Edim. Our Gemara also taught us in our Shir, the Alocha Moide B'Knas, that the Alocha is the Moide B'Knas is Potter. And the question that the Paiskim discuss, there are cases that we have a Knas the Rabbonin. What would be the Halocha by a knas de rabbonon? Is there a rule that all knas, there's a rule moed of a knas potter, that if you admit it to the knas, you will be let go? Or moed of a knas is only by the raisa, the Torah instituted the knas, and at the same time that the Torah instituted the knas, the same time the Torah also instituted that there's a din of moed of a knas. But maybe that's only by a deraisa and not by a derabbanan. And it seems, from what I was seeing by the paiskim, when we speak about a derabbanan, there's two ways of understanding what is the case of derabbanan. One case of understanding derabbanan, a knas that we find in Shas that under certain circumstances the Rabbanan instituted a knas. And then there's another type of a knas. The other type of a knas is a knas that different communities up to our very day make knosses. And the question, and it could be that the knosses that we find in Shas and Mishnayos and Shas, so we know that throughout Shas there's a rule that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. When the Rabbanan instituted their rules, they've modeled them after the Daraisa. But when we speak about a knas that a community makes, so that the community saw that if somebody violates or does whatever they felt the need to give a punishment for in a community that has the ability to do so, there doesn't seem that the community instituted the rule and said, but if you'll be a moedib knas, we'll get you won't be chayiv. We learned in the Mishnah, v'anoshim b'chalal nezek. Says the Mara, minani mili. From where do we know that a woman and a man are the same as far as any halacha of damages? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, v'chein tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Kro. The pasuk says regarding somebody who stole and then he swore falsely. The pasuk says isha kiyas mikol chatas adam. So we see that even a woman, the Torah says isha hishva kosov isha l'ish l'chalach shemitayra. The Torah equates them. Rabbi Lazar Tana. How do we equate men and women? Because the pasuk says ve'ela mishpatim shatosu l'fneim. From here we learn hishva kosov isha l'ish l'chal dinah shemitayra. The Torah equates in all these situations. So I saw that the Rishonim, the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, asks a question. We just finished learning a Gemara that women are disqualified from being Edim by a Dinei Nezikin. So isn't that obviously a reason to say that they are obligated in Nezikin? Because if they weren't obligated in Nezikin, the halacha is any case that you can't be party to that rule, you can't say edus to that rule. So why? Of course, women are exempt. So I saw that when the Torah said that women are exempt from edus, that means that maybe what it means is that if a woman saw testimony together with other men, and we know that edus shebatla miktsasa batla kula, that a part of the group is disqualified, it disqualifies the entire group. That's where it's relevant to. But it has nothing to do to these halachas. That's why we have to have a limud to say that they are included. The Bei Chizki, Rabbi Yosef Glilatan, Amakra, Vehemis Isha Isha. The pasuk speaks about an animal that killed a human being. The Torah Kedosha says, Vehemis Isha Isha, Hashoy Yusokel, Vegam Ba'olav Yumas. So here too, we learn, Hishva Kosev, Isha l'ish l'chol misha shabatayra, the men and women are treated the same. Says the Gemara, the obvious question. We have three psukim just now to teach us the same halacha. So the Gemara's question is, why do we need three psukim to teach us hishve isha l'ish l'chol anshim shabatayra? V'trichi. Diashmina kamaisa, if we only had the first pasuk, bat shvua sheker, hasam, who the chas rachman Allah. That's why, in that case, we might have thought that the Torah is particularly kind on women. That if a woman swore falsely, and then she's ready to admit that she swore falsely, that's where the Torah was lenient and lets her have this carbon, bring a carbon, have kapara. Aval dinim, when it comes to the dinim mamnis, ish, a man, who in that world, the Bar Masav Amatan, was a person who did business in. He has all of the Dinei Mominus applied to him. Isha, women who didn't do business like. Vishminen, if we're going to learn the Halacha by Dinen, we would be lenient. We would say that men and women are included. If women will be exempt from all of the Halachas of financial matters, then no one will ever want to do a business, a transaction with a woman, because they'll know there's no recourse. Ava kapara, but when you speak about kapara, ish, the bar mitzvah, a man that's obligated to do all mitzvahs in, that's who the Torah wants that he should have kapara if he did an avera. Isha, the laba mitzvah, that isn't obligated in all the mitzvahs, as we learned in Masechta Kedushin, women are exempt from mitzvah seishas man grama, loy, maybe by her, there is no din of kapara. V'yashmin hani tarti. And if we only had these two cases where we included women, hocha mishum kapara, here because we want women to have kapara, v'hocha mishum chiyusa, here because we want women to be able to participate in business transactions, avalin katala, but if somebody was killed by an animal, ishta bar mitzvah, a man that's obligated to do mitzvahs, that's in the case, the shalom kaifer, if he was killed, do we need to pay kaifer? It's a terrible loss that an individual who's going to be able to do all mitzvahs is no longer here to be able to do them. Isha, that anyway cannot do all mitzvahs light. Vishmina kaifer, shandikad ibn the shama. Every life is valuable. Avahani tarti, the other two cases weren't life and death. Deleki ibn the shama. Emaloi, maybe women are not included. That's why we needed to have all three psukim. So Gemara has, on one hand, taught us that women may not be edim. Gemara, however, has taught us that as far as all dina mamonos are concerned, what we're going to be learning in these three mesechtas, particularly that we're about to embark on, mesechta baba kama baba metziya baba basra, women and men are the same. But the question is, what other roles can women play in Jewish life? The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, Eim Amidim Isha B'Malchus, a woman cannot be appointed to be a king. Shnema Soim Tosim Halacha Melach V'Loi Malka. The king, Kom Asinim Shem Yisrael, all positions of authority in Klal Yisrael, Eim Emanim Elish, we only can appoint a man. So Tosfos in our Gemara, the very Maskil Asher, says that we do find that Devarah HaNeviah was a Shefetis. So how do we understand that? So Tosfos says that since she was a Neviah and the Shechina rested upon her, the Shechina was connected to her, that was a good enough reason that she could be a judge. Another pshat that Tosfos in Masechta Gittin suggest is that she wasn't a judge. She just was the person who taught Klal Yisrael the halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch and Chayshe Mishpat, Simon Zayin Sifdala Paskins, Isha Psula Ladin. However, the Birka Yosef says that even though a woman should not be a dayan, Isha Chachama Yichayel Lairus Hara, a woman who's smart and knowledgeable, could teach Klal Yisrael what to do. And the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Birka Yosef, and he also tells us to look at the Shari Tshuva in Aruch Chaim, that brings the Shas Tshuva's base Yaakov, that there was once a situation and regarding a matzah, about the kashrus of a matzah, and the only one that was able to pass in that shaila was a woman. And there are other situations that we find that women were people who were able to pass in a shaila. Also, the Paiskim say there are different positions that women may be appointed to, where women may not be appointed to, where the woman be allowed to be a gabbai tzedakah, to be involved in collecting tzedakah, to be the secretary of the shul. Every situation has to be dealt with individually. Hanizik, the Mishnah continued teaching us, Hanizik v'amazik v'tishlumim. So we've been learning that a short time, an animal that hasn't done damage three times, and it does keren, it does the mazik of keren, pays chatzi nezik. Palganiska. So now when we look at this damage, so it's a very fundamental machloikus. Rapop amamamayna, even though it's not equal to the damage, it's only half the damage. And we've been learning when the punishment is not equal to the damage, that's an example of a knas. Says the Gemara here, it's still therefore this is considered memoina. It's not considered kanas. It's considered a financial obligation. It's considered a kanas. And the Gemara explains the basis of each one of these opinions. Rapapa memoina. Rapapa says it's considered mamon because he holds stam shvarim la b'cheska shima kayamim. You can't properly watch an animal not to do damage. They naturally want to do that. And therefore, if an animal did keren, it's bedinu d'boi l'shlumei kulei. You should be responsible to pay for the entire damage. Just rachmanu d'chasalei, the Torah had rachmanus, that since loyai turei, the animal hasn't done this habitually, he hasn't done it three times, that's why we say that the Torah says he only has to pay chatzi nezek. But the chatzi nezek is not a knas. He really should have to pay the whole amount. If anybody is sure, I'm just the opposite, knasa. Why? You don't have to worry that an animal will do something like keren. And therefore, if it did do keren, the halacha ought to be d'loy l'shalom klal. You shouldn't be held responsible at all. Just Rachmana, who the concept, Rachmana, the Torah gave him a fine, kecha the lintri l'ture. That will encourage you to watch your animal, because if you won't watch your animal, this is the price you're going to have to pay is knas. So, of course, many achronim ask, how can we have a machloikis in a metzias, in a reality, if stam shvarim cheskeshima kai, or stam shvarim laba cheskeshima kai, that animals do typically do keren, or animals typically don't do keren. It's a reality, it is or it isn't. So the Sefer Darkei David explains, when the Mandom says that we just had stam shvarim laba cheskeshima kai, it doesn't mean that every animal we could be confident is going to do something dangerous. Of course, most animals don't do so. If every animal does so, then he cannot be lenient, and the Torah would not be lenient. The machlokes here is as follows. Most animals don't do these kind of things. There are some animals that do it. And the question, the machlokes here is, do we go basarov? Do we go with the majority of animals? And since we go with most animals don't do this. And that's why, since most animals don't do it, even when you have an animal that does it, then you have to only pay chatzi nezek. The other man Dhamma says, you can't ignore that minority of animals that do it. There is a population of animals that do such things. And since there is a population of animals that do these kind of things, that's enough of a reason that you have to watch all animals. And therefore, you should really have to pay the entire amount. Just the Torah was lenient and said, and the Torah was lenient, you only have to pay chatzi knas. But then the Shikim Kabetzis asked a question, why was the Torah only lenient, particularly according to the man d'amar that says ubedinu d'boi l'shlumei kulei, that really you should have to pay the entire amount? The Torah had pity and said you'll only have to pay because the animal hasn't done it so many times, it'll be enough if you only pay half. So why over here was the Torah lenient, asked the Shita Mukabetzis, and say that even though you ought to have to pay the whole, will only make you pay half? Why don't we find such an experience by other mazikim that where the Torah should be lenient to you? So the Shita answers that actually by every one of the mazikim we could find the leniency. Shein and Regel you're not chai for Shein, Regel, and Shus Rabin. Bay Bar, these are all halachas that we've already learned. They're not chayiv for Adam v'kelim. Bay Eish, you're not chayiv for something which is tamen, which is concealed. So actually, says the Tosfos Rosh, the Shita quotes him, that every one of the Mazikim, just like we find by Karen, that the Torah has a built-in leniency, actually by every one of the Mazikim, the Torah built in a leniency, each Mazik a different leniency. Says the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Hanizik Vad Mazik B'Tashlumim, that the Nizik and the Mazik both participate in damages that an animal is obligated to that come up when there was Karen. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Mandom Palganiskim Amoina, that really you should have to pay the whole amount. And you only pay half the amount. So now we understand, Hainu the Shaykh Nizik B'Tashlumim. We understand how the Nizik is participating. The way the Nizik is participating is that he should have gotten 100% of his damage. He's only getting 50% of his damage. So he's participating in a very significant way. El mandoma palgan nosa knosa. So according to the mandoma that says palgan nosa knosa, the Nizik should not be entitled to anything. And what he's getting is only a special knas that the Torah fined the mazik. So ask the Gemara, hashtag lav the day shakel. He's really not entitled to anything. So, mitashlum nisei, and whatever he's getting is because the Torah said that he is getting it. So why are we saying that mitashlum nisei, that he's participating in the pay, in the payment of the damages? Answers the Gemara, loy nitzcha al b'chas nevela. That we learned that if the animal that got killed deteriorated in value from when it got killed till when we have the Din Torah, that obligation, that amount that it went down in value, the halacha is the nizik has to take that loss. So that's why we say that the nizik is considered as if he's participating in the payment. So actually, when we learned the Gemara of Pchas Nevela, that the Nizik is the one that has to take on that responsibility, if the animal deteriorates in value, it's the Nizik that's going to have to take it on. We had a question that the Achronim posed. How do we understand that? Is that a halacha in the Tashlumim, in that the Nizik gets less than he deserves? Or is that a way of saying that the hezek was only that much? We look at the hezek at the moment of the hezek, not what happened afterwards. From our Gemara, it seems that we have a raya that the halacha pchas nevela is not a halacha that teaches us that the damages are assessed according to what the damages were at the time of the hezek, but rather the Gemara is teaching us that this halacha pchas nevela is a din in tashlumim. Says the Gemara, but that halacha that we just have been discussing, pchas nevela, asked the Gemara Tanal Eresha. We already learned it from the Mishnah of Daf Tesam Abeis, when the Mishnah said the words, chafti b'tashlumei niskoi, and the Gemara explained tashlumei niskoi, the Gemara Daf Yod taught us, that what does that mean? Melamed shabayim metaplum nevela. It's the Nizik's responsibility to deal with the nevela. Answers the Gemara, chada b'tam, one Mishnah teach this halacha, a bayil metaplum nevela, one Mishnah is telling that is the halacha by tam, v'chada m'mu'ud. And one Mishnah is telling us that so is the halacha by mu'ud. V'tzricha, and says the Gemara, we need two Mishnayos to teach us this halacha distinctly for each circumstance. The Yashmin and Tam, if we only learned this halacha by Tam, Shem Dakati Lo Yad. The animal, as we just said, is not yet a mu'ud. And therefore, the Torah is more lenient to the mazik. And therefore, the halacha is that Bailim, the Nizik, is Metaplon Nevela. Avamud, when we speak about a mu'ud, where this animal is an animal that does damage, maybe we wouldn't be so lenient to the mazik. V'yashmin amud, mishum nekom shalom kulei. By a mu'ud, he's already paying nezek sholem. And therefore, since he's already paying nezek sholem, that's why I will say that the nizik pay is metapel nevela. Avotam, where the nizik is only getting chatzi nezek, eim aloi, tzricha. Says the Gemara, Toshma. The Mishnah And Daf Tes Zayin on the base teaches us. Ma bein tam l'mud. What is the difference between a tam and a mud? So tam mishalm chatzi nezek. A tam pays chatzi nezek. And also that chatzi nezek that the tam pays is migufoy. There's a cap. The cap is that it never pays more than the value of the animal that did damage. A mud mishalm nezek sholim. The mud pays nezek sholim min aliyah. That means if the animal that did the damage is worth more, is now worth as equal to the damage, you'll have to take the money from your pocket. Vim Isa, if we're learning this shaila, that palganiska knasa mamayna, and we'll say that the palganiska that you pay is knas, layman listening namaha, so then we could have had another difference mentioned in that Mishnah between tam and mu'ud. The tam ena mishalma pi atzmai, a tam doesn't pay its obligations when he admitted. The halacha that we began today's shiur with, that moed b'knas is potter, and moed b'shalom p'yatzmoy. So if it's a knas, the halacha is, why wasn't this mentioned? Answers the Gemara, indeed, it should have been mentioned, but the halacha is tanav v'shayir. The Mishnah did not indicate. So if it's Mamoina, we understand why it's not mentioned. But if it's Knas, why wasn't this mentioned? Answers the Gemara, Tana v'Shayir. Ask the Gemara, my Shayir, the High Shayir. As we often explain in our Shiurim, the Torah said that the Mishnah, if it omits something, it doesn't only omit one detail. It's going to omit a number of details. So the question is, why did it not mention what is the other difference that wasn't mentioned? Answer the Gemara, Shayir Chatzi Kaifa. The halacha is that if a mu'ud kills a person, you pay kaifer. Kaifer is the value of the person who was killed. But there is no din of Chatzi Kaifer. That means if a tam, Rachman Lotzlan, kills a person, there is no Chatzi Kaifer. Says the Gemara, and that's the other difference between tam and mu'ud that wasn't mentioned. It says the Gemara, imishim chatzi kaifer, if that's what you want to suggest is the other difference, says the Gemara, lav shiurhu, that isn't a great difference. Because hamani, that isn't going to work. Because hamani, we could suggest that who is the tan of that Mishnah? The tan of that Mishnah, b'yosei glilihi, dama tam shalom chatzi kaifer, says the Gemara. So, we still have to find a proof. Toshma, the Mishnah says, in Masechet Ksubos, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Hamish Sharius Pliny, if somebody comes to Bezdin and says, my animal killed this person, or Sharius Pliny, or he says, my animal killed that person's animal, Hareza Misham Al Piatmai, even though he admitted to what he did, he has to pay. My love, isn't that Mishnah referring to situation of tam? And even though the Mishnah is talking about tam, we see that admitting won't get you off the hook. Isn't that clearly a raya that palganisk, that a tam is paying because it's mammon? Says the Gemara, loy. It's talking about a mu'ud. Aval tam, what would be the halacha if somebody admitted that his tam killed somebody? Killed the person or killed the shor, hachanami, the halacha would be a mishalom piatzmai. He would not be obligated to pay because moed b'knas is potter. Ask the Gemara, ihochi, if that is indeed the case, adetane seifa, the seifa that Mishnah said, hey mishoris avdash aploini, a mishalom al piatzmai. But if he said that my animal killed somebody else's evid, the shloshim shel evid, there's a special din in the Torah that if somebody's animal killed an Eved Kenani, no matter what that Eved Kenani is worth, a lot or a little, you pay shloshim shalavid, you pay a fixed fine of shloshim. That is certainly a knas, because it's a fixed fine no matter what the value is. So ask the Gemara, instead of introducing a new case of Hamish Shoiris Avdashal Ploini, that halacha is, and that's when, if it's your own admission, That's certainly a case, the Shloshim Shel Eved is certainly a case of Knas. And certainly, since it's certainly a case of Knas, it's a mode of a Knas Potter. Lift of a listener, but the Mishnah could have said, but Medva Mamurim, when is the halacha that you pay by your own admission, Bemuid? But the cases that the Mishnah began with, but if the animal did the damage was a tam, then the halacha is, ain't a Mishal Piatzmai, because it's a Knas. Answers the Gemara that so isn't this a proof that Mishnah over there is teaching us that a tam is mammon? Says Mar, no, that Mishnah is coming to teach us kula b'muad kamari. It's speaking only about a muad, and the Mishnah, as Rashi here teaches us, is coming to teach us that even in a muad there are cases that your own admission will not get you off the hook. And there are cases where your own admission will get you off the hook. Tashma. So the Gemara brings a raya from this braisa, the Palganiskas Memoina. Zaklal. Says the braisa the following rule. And call a mishalim yoisal mashahizik. If you pay more than the actual damage that happened, ain mishalim apiatzmai, you don't pay by your own admission. My love. Isn't that braisa teaching us? Hapox mashahizik. If you pay less than the damage that you did, you will pay with your own admission, which is the case of Tam Chatzin Ezek. Says the Mara, Loi. What the Bryce is coming to teach us, Kamosha Hizek. Only in a case where the payment that you're going to have to make is equal to the damage, so there's certainly a case of a Mamonoi, and there the Aloch will be the Mishalim you pay by your own admission. Avo, in a case where it's less, my dalocha would be that you wouldn't pay if you admit it. Says the Gemara, if that is indeed dalocha, what did the Brisa say? That if you pay more than the damage that you did, then you don't pay by your own admission. The Mishnah, the Brisa should have said, listen, if you don't pay equal to what you did, the mashma, that'll mean you're paying less, Pashma Pachas, you're paying less than the damage, Chatzi Nezek, or Mashma Yoser, or you're paying more that you don't have to pay, because that's an indication that's a Knas. Isn't the fact that the Mishnah, that the Braisa did not use this word, a Raya to Yufta, that if you're paying less than what you were obligated to pay, it's Mammon. And since it's Mammon and not Knas, you will pay by your own admission. Says the Gemara, but the halacha is palganiska kenosa. Ask the Gemara, now we're really confused. To Yufta, we just brought a braisa, which is a clear indication that chatzi nezek is a knas, and then we say that the halacha is the chatzi nezek is mammon. In, says the Gemara, that's correct. Because, says the Gemara, tama mai have to Yufta. What made us say that the braisa is teaching us that the chatzi nezek is mammon? Because the Braisa, if it wanted to teach us that if you don't pay exactly equal to the damage, it's a knas. Says the Gemara, loy psikolei. The reason the Braisa didn't use those words is because that isn't exactly the case. The kiva deika chatzi nezek tzroyers. There's a new halacha. If an animal, as it was walking, pebbles were flying, and that is a direct outcome, and we'll discuss this in Mitzvah Shem and our shiurim, of the animal doing damage, that there's a special hilchsa gemira law, there's a special halacha l'moshim Sinai, that you pay chatzi nezek, and that's memoinuhu. That's a special halacha l'moshim Sinai. Shemhachi, because of that, loiktani, because we can't make, because it could lead to a mistake that people would think that chatzi nezek is always a knas, and in the case of chatzi nezek tzeroiris, everybody agrees that it's a Mammon. Says the Gemara, the Hasha the Amrit, now says the Gemara, that we have established, the Palgan Niska Knasa, the Palgan Chetzi Nezek Knas, Hai Kalba, if a dog ate Imri, ate sheep, which is not usual, Shunra, Dochel Tarnagoyla, or a cat that ate the chicken, Mishunahu, it's not usual, and one of the characteristics of Keren is that it's Mishuna, that it's not usual, so then it becomes a knas, and the halacha is that you don't collect that in Bavel. Because in Bavel, as we're going to be learning in our shiurim, the halacha is you don't pay knas. And this is going to be a knas, and only in Eretz Yisrael where they had a bezdin of smuchim, people had smicha. The smicha is not the ordination that we know of. Smicha is an unbroken line of smicha. Only in Eretz Yisrael they had such batidinim. That's where they could connect knas. Here in Bavel, Chutzlitz, they didn't have such batidinim, and therefore you can't collect knas. Even though we don't collect knas, the Rishonim do point out the value of what he ate, you have to pay. V'hani mili, but this halacha that we just said is Barav Ravi. If the animals that the dog and the cat ate are much larger than they are. Since they're much larger than they are, it's unusual, and therefore it's Karen, and it's a knas, and we don't collect knas in Bavel. Avazutri, if they're smaller, Urchihu, that's normal, that's Shein and Regel, and Shein and Regel is Mumin, and we could collect even Chutzlarts. And now the Gemara says another halacha. Even though we just said that Tam is not collected in Bavel, the halacha is Itofas, if the Mazik grab what he's entitled to, then Loi Mafkinimene, what he should be entitled to, Loi Mafkinimene, we don't take it away. There's a new halacha that even though Chatzi Nezek is Knas, and Bote Dinim and Chutzlars can't get involved with such Deinu Torah, the halacha is that Itofas Loi Naftinimene. So the Rosh says, why is this the halacha? Because the Rosh says that midaraisa, the nizik is entitled to seize what he's entitled to. So therefore, even though the bezdin can't get involved, but there is a concept that we're going to be discussing of ovid inish dilan nafshoi. Sometimes you could take the law into your own hands. And therefore, says the Rosh, in all cases of knas, the person who's entitled to the knas, even though Bezdin can't intervene, he could take the law into his hands. So, for example, says the Rosh, if somebody was stolen from, and we know if somebody was stolen from, he's entitled to kefil. Bezdin in Chutz La'aretz can't get involved with a kefil din Torah, but Bezdin in Chutz La'aretz will let the nizik keep it. Drama disagrees and says that not under all circumstances can a nizik just seize property. The Imam says that there's a special rule that chatzi nizik, which is less than what he was entitled to, that was less than the damage that he suffered. So because he's suffering, that he's getting he's not even going to collect his whole damage. He's only going to get the half damage, and even that half damage, he's now, because he's in Chutz La'aretz, he can't collect, says the Yad Ramah, in this case alone, the halacha is that he's entitled to keep what he seized. There is also a question, if the Nizik was typhus, what he thinks he's entitled to, and then the Mazik sees something from the Nizik, is that acceptable or not? And really, I was thinking that question may be connected to this question. If we say that under all circumstances, the nizik is entitled to keep what he took because of the halacha of Ovid Inish Dinel and Afshoi, so he's really allowed to keep it. It belongs to him. And therefore, the mazik can't take anything back. If it's a special dispensation, so maybe that wouldn't be applicable and the mazik could take back what he thinks was taken from him, what he thinks was taken from him unfairly. Says the Gemara, V'yama kovali zimna dazilna. But if the nizik did not seize anything, but they made up that they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, whereas we've been explaining there are bat edinim that it could get involved in these kind of dina taira, kavinaloi, then we make such a time, v'loi ozel, and if he doesn't go, mishamtinaloi, we put him, Misham Tinalei, we put him into Cheirim for violating what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to go to Bezdin Eretz Yisrael, And if he refuses to go, then we put him to cherem. Or benkach or benkach. Whether we made up to go to Tzrol or not, Misham Timlei, we put him to cherem ad masala kazeka, until he removes this dangerous, something that could cause damage from his property. And this we learned from Rab Nosson. Says the Gemara, the Tanya Rab Nosson Omer, Menayin Shloy Gadol Odom Kelv Rabbitach Beisoy, a person shouldn't have a dangerous dog in his home. Vayam Etzulam Ru'u B'tach Beisoy, you shouldn't have a ladder that's shaking. Tamaloymer Leisosim Domem Beisecha. You shouldn't have anything in your home that could cause danger. And as the Rashi explains, a kelavra, Rashi explains, is an animal that has already a history of doing damage. The Muke Yosef says, even it doesn't have such a history, but the halacha, but we have to be concerned about such a situation. Of course, the Ramah teaches us we don't put a person right away into cherem. First, we warn him. If only after being warned he doesn't listen, then we're going to put him into cherem. So the Rishonim ask that how can we ever, based on this Gemara, how can we ever have an animal that's a mu'ud? We should never be able to have an animal that's a mu'ud, because we're learning now that as soon as the animal did damage, does damage, we have to remove him. If we have to remove him as soon as he did damage, we have to put him to cherem. So how did somebody ever end up having a mu'ud? So he says that this obligation of removing something, Yam Shlomo asked this question, and Yam Shlomo says that obligation is only by sakonis nefashis. Something which doesn't represent sakonis nefashis, there is no obligation to immediately remove. And therefore, a mu'ud, the tam did not necessarily kill three times. And therefore, it doesn't represent the situation of sakonis nefashis, and therefore you can leave it. Here we're learning that a person is not allowed to have a dangerous dog. So I saw the Shas Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas discusses what's going to be the halach if somebody has a dog, a ferocious dog, which is a watchdog. Well, let's say he discusses somebody has an electric fence, which of course is dangerous. But if you put up a sign, is that going to be enough that it should not be considered a violation of this halacha? And he says that since the person who has this fence or the person who has this dog needs it for protection, and so, but on the other hand, we have the consideration of our Gemara. So therefore, the halacha is that sign would be adequate. So the Sefer Mishpatei Torah discusses in our Gemara a very interesting situation. He says, somebody asked a worker to come work in his home, and the worker needed a ladder, and the ladder had a, as we just said, sulam rua, a bad ladder. It had one of the steps were not fastened properly, and he fell. And when he fell, not only did he hurt himself, but he also did damage to things that belonged to the person in whose house he was working. What is the halacha? So he says, if the worker was able to determine that this ladder was problematic, then the halacha, and he still went up that ladder, the person who gave him the ladder will not be held responsible. And not only will he not be held responsible, the damage that he did, he'll be responsible. Because he explains that even though we just learned the owner was over the Isser of Loisom Domim B'Bnei Secha, that doesn't mean that if two wrongs make a right. So if the owner gave him such a ladder, and he, the worker, recognized that there was a problem with this ladder, he should never have gone up the ladder. If he went up the ladder, he took on that obligation, he took on that, and since he took that on, he's going to be held responsible. But in the case where he didn't know that the ladder was broken. So now it'll be just the opposite. The owner of the home who gave the worker such a ladder will be responsible for whatever damage happened to the worker. And not only will he be responsible for whatever damage happens to the worker, any damage that the worker did, the worker will not be responsible for.